Hi, this is Chris Uglietta, and thanks for coming back for the third episode of Game Changers with Brian Bowman. Here we talk about A/B creative testing. So we have good creative, there's a lot. How do we know which one to really put the money behind? And we go and review that through Facebook, Google, TikTok, a new media buying model, and campaign structure. We discuss that as well. If you have any feedback or any ideas or want to chat, please reach out to me. Take care. Hello and welcome back to Game Changers. Today we're having a look at the post-IDFA mobile app playbook. And we've walked through already the IDFA impact, creative is king, and now we're going to take a look at A/B creative testing. How do we determine which creative is king and where to spend our money? And today, Brian Bowman, founder and CEO of Consumer Acquisition, is here to walk us through that. Brian, say hello and please tell us a little bit about your business.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the intro there. As you said, I'm the founder and CEO here. We have managed over $3.5 billion in paid social spend with a heavy concentration in mobile apps. All of our advertisers are performance oriented. We offer a creative studio that produces videos and images at scale and UA services for Facebook, Google, TikTok, Snap, and Apple search ads. And as a bit of context, we see about $150 million a month through our platform. That helps us understand what's working creatively and, of course, for media buying.
Thank you. And if you'd like to learn more about Brian and CA, click the link here in the description of the video. I'm just really glad to have you here so we can get your impression, you know, boots on the ground, what's going on and how to deal with things in this new world that's changing so fast. So let's jump in. Let's get stuck into A/B testing.
Sure. So A/B testing is this funky thing, which is everyone has their own style and process for doing it. And one of the things that hit us, I think it was November of 2019. I'm going to just give a really quick summary here.
Cool.
Facebook would like you to do the left, which is every asset should reach statistical significance, meaning it's got a 95% certainty that the decision they're making is the right one. But you can imagine if you have a 1% purchase rate, which most e-commerce apps do and many games do, and you have to get 100 purchases to get that signal right, and if your cost per purchase is $200, that's an awful lot of money per creative to let it run. Mm-hmm. So we found that to be inefficient. We do a non-statistically significant solution. The confidence rate is about 95% certainty, meaning we could do it for $200, not 20,000. Yes, you're going to get false negatives. Yes, you're going to get false positives, but it saves you an awful lot of money in the long run, and you can move faster. And to just highlight the kind of fundamental problem we uncovered, we obviously didn't test hot dog dogs, but we replaced what was actually running with the dog to hide the advertiser here. We had a hunch that Facebook was maintaining creative history of assets. And so what we did is we ran a video and we cloned it 5 times. And we dropped one black pixel randomly in the video so that they're identical with the exception that the hash ID, which got uploaded to Facebook, would see it a bit differently. And what ended up happening, you would think the click to install IPM would be very, very close, like within a fraction of a percent because they're sure. The app exact same video to a human.
Right.
That's not what happened. The dog on the far left outperformed its parent on the far right by almost 150%. So that made us scratch our head that they weren't closer. We thought, well, maybe we got to let it run for some more money. We did. It didn't change the results any. Came to figure out that Facebook maintains creative history. So when you have a winner, it always knows, based on the velocity and amount of spend that you're running, how much of a winner it is and how much money has been spent. So the only way to really do A/B testing, in our opinion, which is not a best practice at Facebook, I'm trying to add some context here, is you never include the control video, the winner, in any of the work that you're doing. You test, in this example, the 4 dogs without the blue by themselves and see which one's going to run. And I'll show you. So we run it through a 3-step process. It depends on whether you're running a title that is purchase-based or ads-based, but generically, this is the process. And there's a free white paper on our site if it's helpful. I'm happy to provide you guys access to it. There's also a fundamental shift that's happened because of the loss of IDFA. and the certainty of deterministic tracking being gone, you can no longer use iOS for testing. So all testing has now moved to Android. We recommend Facebook newsfeed only because of the sophistication of their reporting platform. We always start with a brand new campaign. We run one ad per ad set with one ad only.
And what geographies are you testing in? Is this all US or are you doing international to save?
Yeah, great question. If we can, the recommendation is you find someone that behaves similarly. So we frequently test in India. And then on the monetization side, we try and do somewhere like South Africa or Singapore. The idea is just to lower your cost structure so that the amount of money you're spending, because 95% of ads are going to fail, you just want to minimize the financial waste until you see something has the likelihood of winning. So in this style of testing, it isn't about the final perfect answer. It's about grouping things that are behaving similarly. So out of that five videos, we may take two or three that show good IPM, impressions per install, and then we move into phase two. And phase two is really, can we get a low cost per X, CPA, ROAS, et cetera? Does it look decent? Will it monetize at all? So it clicks well. If it monetizes well, then we take it to the final step, which is ROAS scale. These are still isolated from the control video. They're not mixed. Here's the final step and where I think most people fail to kind of grasp the importance of this. Never combine a challenger with a champion until the challenger has exited the learning phase. And the reason being, two bad things can happen. The challenger could immediately kill the champion, but fail, or the champion kills the challenger right away, even though it may have lost in the long run. At the moment at which both are out of the learning phase, it's a gladiator battle. You combine them and see which one's going to win, and you roll them out to all your ad sets. So this is a lot more work for a UA manager, but the net result of it is we saw a pretty substantial increase in performance financially. That's about 17%. But I think more importantly, the results to the creative team, because when you're shooting 95% of concepts, it's really hard to keep coming up with new ideas. This unlocked a lot of those concepts and brought back ads and ideas that people thought were bad.
How long is that learning phase?
It is, now you're going to test me, I think 50 conversions per ad set per week to exit the learning phase. Okay. So if you're going for purchases, that's 50 purchases. So it's in that neighborhood, but it also varies if you're doing it on TikTok, Facebook, or Google. So the kind of conclusion takeaway here, which I mentioned, you know, we were able to increase our success rate. We were able to uncover more ROAS. As important or more is giving those winners back to the creative team.
Got it. Just a question here, you know, with that 5% success rate, are you seeing less kind of big budget ads, you know, with celebrities and so forth, as they may be hit and miss, or more of that, or, and then, you know, more kind of quick kind of cartoony throwaway stuff, you know, kind of meme stuff out there? How's that playing out?
So I think we're mixing a few things here to just tease them apart. UGC or influencer videos are fundamentally table stakes on TikTok, Snap, and Instagram. So you have to be native to the platform. When it is a UGC platform like TikTok, you got to run UGC ads, or just it looks like an ad and people don't click on it well.
Yeah, and UGC is user-generated content for those of you not up to speed.
I'm usually good at not doing that. Here's the hard part. If you have a brand or if you're a celebrity, the polish of the ad almost never impacts performance. So if you push for pixel perfect, it probably takes four times as long to get that ad through your queue. And it's not going to have a better performance financially than an ad that is hacked out and tested. So the faster you can move, the faster you can test, the more likely that you're going to uncover a winner, is our recommendation. Sure.
The cameos made it a lot easier to do that with celebs.
Who doesn't want Snoop Dogg, you know, pumping up their...
Right. I did one with Carole Baskin. It was awesome.
Tiger King, let's go. What this is showing, so similar to the ad concept model that we talked about on the last session, we also have a media buying model. And it's really difficult to visualize the difference between Apple and Android today. So we wanted to just create a parallel between the two. To the right is Facebook Android. To the left is Facebook iOS. These are both post IDFA loss. You only get 9 campaigns with iOS now. That is the scan requirement limitations that Facebook has imposed. So as you can imagine, 9 campaigns, 5 ad sets per campaign does not give you an awful lot of room to do anything. So the likelihood that you're going to allocate one of those slots for doing that true A-B testing is very small. What's ending up happening for folks that only have iOS, I call it a creative blob. You dump a bunch of creatives into an ad set. You never know which creative is winning. You just know that one blob is better than the other blob. It's just a really bad way of doing creative ideation because you're not sure what to do next because you're not getting the data back to know how to enhance it. Now, if you juxtapose that to Android, it's unlimited. So it maintains full deterministic tracking. You can have a very robust, aggressive build with different optimization types, super tiny words here. We run both AAA, so Facebook Automated App Ads, and CBO, Campaign Budget Optimization, the older algorithm, to let them fight, right? The idea is never to just take optimization only or automation only, really go out and do the hard work to uncover those pockets of efficiency. We typically bump into 15 to 30% efficiency gains when we do this really hard work and we do a bunch of interest groups and strange audience types, day parting. A lot of those techniques and tactics are on our blog. It's just a lot of work. The benefits are there, but you got to really spend the time to do it. So the purpose in showing this is very difficult to do A-B testing on iOS. The likelihood of doing it is very small. When you do it, it's going to be a blob and it's not going to give you the right answer. So if you can, focus on Android.
Awesome. And by the way, I know this is a tiny slide, so we'll link the deck here in the description of this video for our viewers. And also your white paper you mentioned.
Yeah, it's super tiny. This is all, it's all on the blog and it's big, so you can download it.
Cool.
The one thing I did want to highlight a bit further in terms of IDFA impact is, you know, the scan limitations are really quite brutal, right? The 9 to 12 campaigns, I think it just got released last week that it's now not just one account. You can put it over many accounts, but you still have the same restrictions. So if you're working with an agency that is not an agency of record, you both get 9 campaigns total, right? This is not across multiple accounts. So it makes it very difficult to do well. And then you have to reach a certain level of reporting threshold. And I think it's 128 conversions per week to even qualify for full tracking. So to the extent you can, push everything into Android. At the end of the day, we're going to have to make iOS work. My opinion is you're going to have to embrace media mix modeling. So it's old school direct mail stuff all over again. You're going to have to figure out a ways to balance and understand it's not last click attribution anymore. You're going to have to do contribution analysis by channel. And it's imperfect. So in that imperfectness is good for the platforms if they're able to put in inventory that maintains their margin. It's bad for us on the buying side who have 18 to 24 month LTV analyses that have been put together that are now no longer valid.
Yeah, all those models are broken. Are you really seeing good parity between performance on Google and then when you go live on iOS, is it kind of working out the same?
Yeah, the only exception, that's a good question, Chris. The only exception is we don't see ads port well between TikTok and, say, Facebook or YouTube, right? There's a difference there in the UGC component.
Sure.
So you do need a slightly different style of creative running. The motivations can be the same, but you're going to want it to be people first.
Yeah, TikTok's still pretty new for most publishers.
So there's a bunch of differences here. When I talked about creative blobs, that is in every way what Google has done with Google UAC or AC, you know, depending on how long you've been in it. It's really about grouping an awful lot of assets and letting Google sort it out. You end up, because of the sophistication of their model, not spending a lot of time on doing bid and budget adjustments, but really it's creative analysis and then regrouping of creative so that you can maintain efficiency. It's a bit cumbersome. They're working on it. So again, we always start in Facebook Android instead of AAA on Facebook or Google UAC.
Got it.
On the Google side, without spending a whole bunch of time on this, it's a very different model. We could like to consider it time-based instead of objective-based. So there's a philosophy starting in week one, how you want to test it, establish your primary events, creating this creative baseline. Then moving into week two, where you start expanding the testing into geos, different types of purchase events. Eventually you get into the final week, week four, where you're really starting to ramp up scale. If you can, please implement Firebase, which is their proprietary SDK. It really gooses your TROAS and your overall performance by about 15%. So just in focusing, right, this is an interesting thing. Facebook is really different than Google, and Google is very different than AppLovin in terms of how you do optimization. So not only do you have to go cross-platform to recover IDFA loss, the complexity of doing that buying has increased. And in terms of TikTok, they're really quite an amazing firm. They have aggressively built out their capabilities, and they continue on a monthly, quarterly basis to roll out a bunch of new features. So there's also a media buying suggestion in terms of how to do TikTok. Think of it as a bit different than both systems. They behave quite well with interest categories and keywords. They're more sensitive to time zones. So there's a couple of tactics here that you should try that are different than the tactics you may try on Facebook and Google. One of the things that we've uncovered here is this time zone targeting. It really makes no sense. In the very bottom, if you build 4 or 5 blocks of time, midnight to 5 a.m., 6 a.m. to 11 a.m., and you just let the algorithm sort it out, it really works well. It shouldn't, but it does. And so the summary here is, there's a fundamental pivot on A/B testing. You cannot use iOS any longer. So you got to use Facebook and you got to use Android. And then you roll it out to the appropriate networks. Google really needs you to give it the maximum number of creatives, which are both videos and images and then text. And in case of TikTok, it's a bit different. So every couple of weeks they're coming out with features, and just would encourage you to pay attention to their testing blog.
Terrific, Brian. This is a great summary and a lot of deep information here. Like I said, we'll post your deck on the description here, as well as your white paper and a link to your site and your blog, which really dives into this. And if you have any questions about competitive analysis and kind of looking at competitors, reach out to App Annie. I'd be happy to help anyone out there. Brian, you've been a great guest and really kind of given us your straight dish on the matters at hand here. And I'm just glad to have you. And thanks for being a part of Game Changers.
Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity.
Glad. I look forward to having dinner with you next time I'm out in the Bay Area.
Or when I'm in Austin.
Oh, let's do that for sure. We'll have some barbecue. But thanks for watching Game Changers. Watch out for an upcoming episode or series where we're going to look into play-to-earn games as well as NFTs in games. Thank you very much. Take care.